KOB Live.
Hello, and this is Studio B Live. I'm your host, David Burns, from Long Lane Honeybee Farms. Good to be along with you today, and I hope your family had a great Thanksgiving weekend and enjoyed maybe some time off from work and just enjoyed probably being with the family and eating way too much food like we did. And you're probably still trying to finish off maybe some of those leftovers. And it's good to be back with you and to talk about beekeeping. And boy, I tell you, here in Illinois, over the last couple of days, we've gotten a little bit of snow, enough to cover the ground, probably 3 or 4 inches. And it was the kind of snow that we seldom get here in Illinois. That's the snow that falls very softly and lands on the trees and just kind of lingers and piles up on pine trees. I mean, we never get that kind of snow because it's windy, typically, in Illinois. And when I first moved to Illinois as a 13-year-old lad, I was fascinated to watch an Illinois snow. You see, I was raised in Tennessee, and there, when it snowed, it generally didn't have the kind of wind with the snowstorm that you have in Illinois. So, in Tennessee, when it snowed, typically the snow landed softly on things and piled up. Well, in Illinois, what is typical is snow does not fall vertically. Snow falls horizontally. And if you're familiar with the Midwest, you know what I mean. It blows. There's so much wind that the snow gets caught up in the wind. And, of course, the wind is moving horizontally, parallel to the ground, and so does the snow. And here in Illinois, you can have, you know, bare ground showing in one spot, but 3 feet over, you can have a 6-foot snowdrift. And so, but that wasn't the case over the last few days. We had a beautiful snow, and it is beautiful out there. And, of course, makes me wonder, as it does all beekeepers, what are my bees doing? You know, just before the snow came, we had great weather for the end of November. We had temperatures reaching almost 50 degrees, like 49 degrees. And, of course, very little wind. And so that 49-degree day where the sun was hitting against the bee boxes, there were quite a few of my hives that the bees were flying out to relieve themselves. And it's good to see them have that kind of a break occasionally so they can tidy up and stay healthy inside the hive. But now they're probably bunkered back down. We're going to have a low tonight of 18 degrees here. And so we'll see how they how long it'll be until they come out again. It looks like it's going to be a little while. You know, it's funny when we talk about bees and temperatures that bees fly. Most people say that bees really don't come out of the hive unless it gets to be, you know, 50 degrees, maybe 45. But I'll tell you what, there are some eager bees that will fly out at colder temperatures. And I've seen bees fly out when it seems to be just barely above freezing, you know, in the mid-30s. I've seen bees sometimes out flying. I think it has a lot to do with the position of your hive, how much sun is hitting the box, maybe how much wind is hitting the box. Not that wind can cool the inside of the hive, but when a bee, when she sticks her nose out the door to do a little survey of how cold it is, it can be cold, but if it's cold and windy, you know, that the chill factor has a lot to do with it, as it does us. But it was good seeing the bees flying out a little bit. I'd say probably about 25% of my hives showed some kind of flight patterns last week. But, of course, now they're back clustered up, staying warm, waiting for a better day. Sherry and I have had a great week. We had a great Thanksgiving, as I said. We had a little issues on Thanksgiving with our electrical system at our house, and it was funny because my dad was an electrician, you know, so I picked up a lot of things from him. And of course, my brother is in that kind of a field too. He works for a company that builds big machines, and so he heads up the electronics and hydraulics. And anyway, I had a power outage. It was the evening prior to Thanksgiving. And that was my son's Seth's birthday. He's 15 now. We were having his birthday party, you know, and some of the lights just went off, and we were like, "Whoa!" I thought I had fixed it because I thought it was just a fuse, a breaker that tripped, and I thought, "Oh, okay, well that's solved that problem." But the next day, more bizarre things happened. I won't bore you with the details, but it took me calling my brother and saying, "Hey, you know, this is what's going on. It's really weird. What do you think's happening?" And about an hour later, after testing with the voltmeter and my brother helping me through, it was just one particular leg of the circuit had a blown fuse on it. And part of our house has the older electrical box where they have those round cylinder kind of cartridge fuses, you know. And one of those was just blown and caused some weird things to happen. Nothing serious. Fixed it. Now we're back in business. No problem. But, those things seem to happen when you have company over. I think it was last year we had problems with our septic tank just about Thanksgiving time. these are things that you don't want to happen. Anyway, I hope your family had a great time at Thanksgiving, too. Hey, I want to tell you about an interesting website that I found about honeybees. Part of our reason for having Studio Bee Live is to educate you, to help you learn more about beekeeping. And an interesting aspect of beekeeping that, you know, some beekeepers just really don't want to talk about. They are kind of leery of bringing it up, I think, of possible repercussions from the medical field. But it's about apitherapy. It's the treatment of people using, products from the hive, from the beehive, apitherapy. APITHERAPY. And they have a website, and it's interesting. It's apitherapy.org. That's APITHERAPY.org. Apitherapy.org. I don't know if they pronounce it apitherapy or apitherapy, but I'm pretty sure it's apitherapy. I was looking through there. You know, they have some notable people on their executive committee, on their staff, and even a medical doctor. But the first time I became aware of apitherapy was probably about 1994, shortly after I began keeping bees, and the friend that helped me start beekeeping invited me to go to the Beekeeping Association meeting in that area, and we did. And that evening, they were having a special person in to lecture on bee venom therapy. And it was fascinating. It was fascinating listening to this gentleman talk about the benefits of bee stings. I mean, that's the last thing that most people think of. When you think of a bee and being stung, you immediately think, oh, you know, that's, I'm going to itch, I'm going to swell up, I could be allergic, you know, that hurts, and I don't want to be stung. But this individual opened my eyes up to bee venom therapy. And he had his patients there. Many of them were patients with rheumatoid arthritis or MS patients, and they were claiming how wonderful the bee stings have been for them, how the bee stings have freed them up, giving them more movement, taken away dizziness, and given them more flexibility, and on goes the list of bee venom therapy. It was interesting about that, and I don't think I've ever told this, but on our broadcast yet. But I was at that time I was running, 3 miles every day, every other day. Those of you that run and you've never had an injury, you're very fortunate. But most of the time, runners have injuries that plagued them. We try to buy the best of shoes, but still, it's a lot of wear and tear on the body. And I finally gave that up when I was about 38, I think, because about 10 years ago, because I realized, boy, you know, this running is really hard on your joints. But back then when I was running, I was 34 at the time, I began to realize that, boy, I was having a little trouble with my right knee. It was swelling, you know, it was holding fluid, hurting, of course. And I wanted to run. I had to run to keep my regimen going, but I couldn't. And I was just thinking, what can I do? And I was keeping bees at the time. And I kind of heard a little bit about, you know, maybe a bee sting would help, but I thought, oh, that's crazy. You know, how's that going to help? Earlier that day, before we went to the meeting to hear the gentleman speak on bee venom therapy, I was taking supers off my hive. And I had a truck, and I had all these supers in the truck. And for some reason, when you do that, bees kind of, you know, sometimes you have your window down. And they were in my cab of my truck. Well, I took the truck to the bee meeting, and on the way home, after I heard this gentleman talk about, you know, how beneficial the bee sting is to arthritis, or especially if you're having trouble like tennis elbow, any kind of ligament or tendon problems, you know, that bee stings can really help, because he said the bee sting draws to the area where the sting is. It draws your body's natural cortisone there. You know, some people take the cortisone injections, synthetic cortisone. And I was driving home saying to myself, I do have a hive that I can take some bees out of and sting my knee, but boy, I don't know, should I try it? Maybe I don't want to try it. But on the way home, pitch black in my cab, you know, I thought I felt something crawling up my leg. Wasn't sure, but I as I got out of the truck when I got home, sure enough, my walking pinched the bee right on my knee that was giving me problems, and I got stung right on my knee. Well, I went inside, you know, and pulled the stinger out where I could see, and I thought to myself, okay, I'm committed now. Let's see what this bee sting will do for my knee. Honestly, it was incredible. I tell you what, it's just my testimony, and I'm not trying to get you to do anything that you shouldn't do without consulting your doctor, but for me, that was a winner. It completely, within a day or two, healed my knee. It took all the swelling away, and I never had a problem with it after that. It was just incredible. Now, I guess some people say it was a coincidence. It would have gone away anyway. But no, I don't know. If you've ever had knee problems like that, these things just really don't go away. They're tough to get over, especially if you continue to irritate it. So over the course of the years, I continue to kind of follow that and read about it. And to be honest with you, we use that here at our bee farm. And our family, especially my wife and I, if we ever have little aches and pains here and there that we've maybe injured ourselves or overworked a certain area, bone or ligament or something, it's not uncommon for us to use the honeybees and their sting to get rid of those aches and pains. It really is incredible. But let me give you that website again for you to look at, apitherapy.org. That's apitherapy.org. And one of the things I want to share with you that I found on this website, it's about royal jelly. I think royal jelly is intriguing. I mean, we all know that. I mean, talk to anybody about royal jelly, and they're going to tell you, oh, I've heard about royal jelly. That's really some powerful, you know, stuff, isn't it? And it's really neat. But let me read for you what this website says about royal jelly. Here's what it says. The royal jelly is a milky substance produced by the glands of nurse bees between their 5th and 15th day of age. All bee larvae are fed royal jelly for the first 3 days after being laid. After that, only the larvae designated to be the queen are fed royal jelly. The components of royal jelly help the queen mature into a large, fertile, and longer-living bee. Worker bees live from 4 to 6 weeks, whereas the queen lives up to 6 years and lays 2.5 times her weight in eggs a day. This is due to royal jelly's powerful effect on the bee's hormonal and metabolic systems. The Chinese are the world's largest producers and consumers of royal jelly. Royal jelly has played a key role in traditional Chinese medicine and is still used today to prevent a wide variety of medical conditions. These include, but are not limited to, anxiety, arthritis, bone fractures, asthma, depression, fatigue, lack of sexual desire, hair loss, insomnia, liver and kidney disease, stomach ulcers, menopausal symptoms, varicose veins, a weak immune system, high and low blood pressure, and a variety of skin conditions. Royal jelly, which is high in vitamin B, has a metabolic stimulating action which aids in the processing of proteins, carbohydrates, and lipids. It also increases oxygen consumption, improving endurance and decreasing fatigue. As a powerful antioxidant, royal jelly decreases levels of free radicals, which are thought to cause aging. Royal jelly has a direct effect on the adrenal glands, leading to an increased secretion of adrenaline, which can be cardioprotective. With its protective effects on the cardiovascular, pulmonary, and immune system, it is no wonder royal jelly is a prized commodity in many cultures. Huh, isn't that interesting? Royal jelly. Well, if you stay up late at night and maybe can't sleep and you're thumbing through various channels with your remote, you can land upon some of the info commercials that are selling royal jelly. Some sell it in a liquid form, like it's sent to you frozen in some sort of dry ice, I suppose. Others sell it in capsules or some type of, you know, what, dry powder, some way that you can take advantage of it. But it is interesting to consider this powerful product of the hive that most of us have never tapped into. Now, I have to go on the record of saying this is, though I enjoy the benefits of a bee sting, this is one product that I have never got onto yet. And it's simply because, not that I'm afraid to, not that I'm reluctant to, but it takes a lot of work to capture some royal jelly out of a hive. However, I have found this year, after raising queens, I have found the secret and the answer on how to harvest royal jelly, which I plan to do next year, and I'm sure in the spring I'll be testing the waters on tasting some of that royal jelly. Some of my friends who have tasted royal jelly says that it's a taste you'll never forget. And I said, well, was it bad? And they were like, well, I don't want to say that it was bad. It was just, and I said, what? And they would say, how do I describe it? And I said, I don't know, tell me what it tastes like. I mean, what is something familiar that I would know that it tastes like? They would say, oh boy. And they never would say anything. They would just say, boy, it's got a different taste. And it must not be good, because they weren't getting ready to, you know, eat that on a regular basis. But I've heard people mixing it with all kind of stuff, like orange juice or, you know, drinking it with something and tastes a little bit better. But you can do your own research. And I'm sure there are plenty of companies out there that are looking to purchase royal jelly. This article that I just read or quoted for you, again, is from the American Apitherapy Society. And this particular article was written by Andrew Cochin, an MD for the organization. So very interesting to read about that if you're interested in more about apitherapy and how the bees and products from the hive may be able to help you. You might want to check that out, read through their literature,
And by all means, be very careful. Don't go crazy. No reason to be ignorant or stupid and do crazy things. You know, be very intelligent about your decisions to use products from the hive to treat yourself. And I would encourage you to do so only under a physician's supervision. And by the way, I have found honey to be a great resource of healing as well. I mean, if I start to get a sore throat, it's just me, in my opinion, it always helps. If I burn myself or cut myself, I put honey on it. If I had to put a Band-Aid on it, I'll put honey and then a Band-Aid on top of the honey on my cut or my burn. Always heals faster. I mean, it's just great. So I do believe this is a great resource that we probably need to look into more, take advantage of all these natural healing properties that the bees are giving us. That's my thought on the whole matter. A long time ago, I wouldn't say a long time ago, maybe a few years ago, there was a book written, and it's still out there, especially it's in the UK, but it's entitled The Hibernation Diet. The Hibernation Diet. And these were legitimate doctors who had done significant studies claiming that if you consumed, I think it was a tablespoon of honey right before you went to bed, right before you went to sleep, if you would consume a tablespoon of honey, you would lose weight because apparently the honey begins to burn up bad, I don't know if it was bad cholesterol or bad radicals or something. It would keep your body's metabolism going. It would burn up the bad stuff and help you produce the good things in your body. And it would claim that you could lose weight. This is why it's called the hibernation diet. Supposedly it would help you lose weight because your body would keep on staying revved up while you're sleeping, I guess. And it also had the benefit of giving you a more restful night of sleep. Now, again, I've tried this, not that I'm trying to lose weight, although I think all of us probably, most of us could always stand to shed a few pounds, especially after Thanksgiving. But mine was more to see if it really did help me rest any. And sure enough, I love it because I usually take a couple of teaspoons of honey before I go to bed, and it always seems to make me rest better at night. So, you know, these are just opinions and speculations and hard to do studies, and it's, you don't know if it's going to work on one person the same as another. But anyway, give it some thought, and certainly taking a couple of teaspoons of honey before you go to bed is not going to be dangerous, like a bee sting or consuming royal jelly or eating propolis. Some people do that, and I think, wow, you know, I don't know if I'd want to do that. But you might want to try that. Just do your own little experiment with a couple of teaspoons of honey before you go to bed. See if you lose weight. See if you sleep a more restful night. See how things go. All right. Well, let's continue on with our broadcast today, and we'll enjoy our time together. Maybe sit back and enjoy some information on beekeeping. Again, I'm David Burns. You're listening to Studio Bee Live, brought to you by Long Lane Honeybee Farms. Well, our class is filling up. We have a beekeeping class coming up in February, and we are getting very close to meeting our total number allowed, which Sherry and I haven't decided if it should be 12 or 15. The last one that we had was 15 or maybe 16, and it was a tad not really crowded, but it would have been more comfortable with 12. So in February, we will not be opening up any of our hives here, and so we'll be indoors for our class. And so we were kicking around. Maybe 12 would give us a little more stretch room and, you know, a little more time for personal questions and so forth. So we still have some spots available, so by all means, we want you to be encouraged to attend our upcoming beekeeping class. And it's coming up. Let me get the right dates for you here. Let me bring my calendar up. It's the hardest date for me to remember. I can't remember the exact date of it. I know it's a Saturday. As soon as I look at February, I'll know what Saturday is. It's February the 21st. And it's going to be from 9 in the morning until about 3 in the afternoon. You'll have a great time. We'll have lunch here. Lunch is on us. And I will instruct you how to be a great beekeeper. I'll take you through the equipment. I'll take you through the bee. I'll take you how to run your hives without medication. I'll help you learn how to overwinter your hives. Whatever questions you have, you can ask me either during our question and answer time or lunchtime. And as always, we have so many of our resources available while you're here. If you need to pick up some equipment, suits, whatever, it's just the one-stop place for you to come and take care of all your beekeeping needs, getting ready for the spring. This particular class is the class that we knew that, you know, probably first-time beekeepers would want to come to if they were interested in starting in the spring. Take this one-day seminar class, and we get you all set up so you can start keeping bees in the spring. So again, call. We have some spots still available, and you might be the lucky one to take the last few spots. That's February the 21st. It's a Saturday here in Central Illinois. The nearest town toward our farm, near our farm, is Catlin. That's Catlin. So if you want to look at the map and look up Catlin, Illinois, you can calculate if you want to make the long drive. Sure you should. Gas prices are down. Come on over and enjoy yourself with us for the day. But we're just outside of Catlin, and if you do call in, we can give you more information on the location of our place out in the country, and you'll have a great time with us. Just give us a call, 217-427-2678. Let us know you're interested in the February the 21st class, or you can email me at david@honeybeesonline.com. We'd love to have you. Join us for our class. Call us 217-427-2678 or email me at david@honeybeesonline.com. And now for some more information on equipment from the hive. Let's talk about the equipment. We have been studying the beehive, what we would call the woodenware. That's a very familiar term to beekeepers who are talking about the beehive box, not the bees themselves, but the beehive box is typically called, the equipment is typically called woodenware. It's made of wood, and the bees use it as their home. When you refer to a beehive, the hive that lives in the woodenware, it's commonly referred to as a beehive or as a colony. You can say my colony of bees, this colony, that colony. They live inside the woodenware. They live inside the beehive. But the bees themselves are a colony of bees. Now let's talk about, we've talked about the top cover, the inner cover, we talked about the super, we talked about the deep hive body. I want to talk today about the individual frames. I don't believe I've done that yet. The individual frames. There are so many different types of frames, and they're different because there are so many different types of foundation. Now, let me give you some very simple types of frames, and this will help maybe clarify some of it for you. But if you call up someone and say, I'd like to buy some frames, they're going to say what kind, and they have their terminologies, and then you have to make sure you're talking the same language. Back in the old days, before we started making our own stuff, I would call and order frames, and I'd always get the wrong ones. You know, I knew what I wanted, but I didn't know how to communicate it to them what I wanted. The most familiar and probably one of the most commonly accepted types of frames today is the wooden frame that is called a top and bottom groove frame. Now, let me explain to you what is meant by a top and bottom groove frame. It means that in the top and the bottom of the frame, on the inside, there's a groove.
And that's why it's pretty descriptive of what it is. And inside the grooves, you can snap your plastic insert, your plastic foundation, into these top and bottom groove frames. And I love them. It's so nice. And I know that some of you are probably used to wax frames and you don't want to try these, but these work very well. They're very nice. The bees really enjoy them. And I'm a big advocate of using these types of plastic foundations. The one that I enjoy the most is Pierco. It's a product out of California that's produced here in the United States. And it is also beeswax coated here in the United States with United States beeswax. So all of those features are good. Plus, the Pierco product is a food-grade plastic as well. So no need to worry about the plastic being some type of toxic or harmful plastic. It's not. It's a food-grade plastic. And the bees, like I said, the bees really enjoy it. Now, we're talking about frames, and that's why frames are different. If you're using the wax foundation, which is a thin sheet of actual beeswax that's been melted and reformed and pressed with a bee's comb imprint on it, then you'll have to use a frame, and there are a couple of different kinds, but the typical most common frame for wax foundation is what we would call a top wedge bar foundation, or top wedge bar frame. It's got a wedge that's slightly hanging on when you buy it to the top bar of the frame. It snaps off. And in the place where it has snapped off, you put this wax foundation with these little pins on it, and you take this wedge and you staple or nail the wedge back in position, angling it a little bit differently, but so that it holds the wax in place through the little metal wires in the wax. So those are your two most common types of frames that you would see today. There's another product that some people still use today called DuraGilt, and it's a very, very thin piece of plastic, and it has wax on it with the bee comb imprint on it as well. Now, personally, I have not had too much luck with DuraGilt, so I don't use it at all anymore. Sad to say that every time I find a frame of it, I usually discard it. The frames that it used typically were a little bit different, but oftentimes it would fit into the top and bottom groove frames as well. So it's your call whether you want to use the real wax foundation, or if you want to go with the more accepted plastic foundation of our time today. And it is almost a difference between generations. You'll find a lot of people who began beekeeping 30 or 40 years ago on wax just can't make the shift over to plastic, and I can understand that. Those are hard decisions to make, but again, it works really good. The frames themselves are made of four pieces. These four pieces have names to them. And if you learn the names, then you can sound pretty intelligent when it comes to beekeeping. You have the top bar of your frame. And this is a piece, we call it a header in our shop when we make them, but it's the top piece of the frame, the top bar. And to the top bar, there are end bars that are attached. They hang down from the top bar. They hang down. They're the side bars. And to that, to the two side bars at the bottom, they are connected by a bottom piece. This bottom piece, the bottom bar, goes across the bottom of the frame. So to give you an idea, if you've never kept bees or have never seen a frame, if you were to assemble this frame, it looks like a rectangle. It looks like a rectangle with a slot or a groove on the inside of the bottom piece and the top piece for the foundation to fit into. Now, the condition of these frames are built so that they'll have the proper bee space between each other, giving the bees
even after they draw their comb, giving them room to walk between the frames. And also how they fit in the box. It leaves 3/8 of an inch bead space around the frames and around where the frames hang over the maybe the top of the next frames below them. The bead space, as I've said before, is critical. You don't want to mess up bead space. The sidebars are important too. The frames that we sell have no knots on them. And they're clean wood. And our sidebars are actually a little bit larger than 3/8. So it makes them stronger. And we have started to glue our frames too. I don't think that is absolutely necessary, especially if you assemble them correctly. But nonetheless, glue always makes things stay together better. And these frames are typically nailed or stapled together. And where you staple them are very critical. Here's how we assemble our frames. You take your header, your top bar, you push your two end bars into your top bar, and then you push in your bottom piece into the sidebars. Now you turn it over where the header or the top is sticking up, and we simply shoot one staple down through the top bar into the sidebars, straight down on each side of the frame. And at that point, we rotate the frame over, and now we see our bottom piece there, and we put two staples in the bottom piece on each edge, stapling the bottom piece into the end bars, the sidebars, and then we do that on the other side. Now, here's the most important place to nail and staple your frame. Just below the edge of your top bar into the side of your sidebar, you want to run a staple or a nail through the sidebar into the top bar. In other words, it's running parallel with the ground, if you're looking at it that way, and going through the sidebar into the top bar. You know why that's important? Because when you pick up a frame by its ears, the top bar has an extended ear beyond the triangle where it hangs in the box. If you pick a heavy frame of honey up by these ears, it can pull away, can pull the sidebars out of the top bar. Even though it's been nailed from the top or stapled from the top, the weight is tremendous. And those side staples, those side nails, one on each side, will hold the sidebars from sliding out of the top bar. That's a crucial place, crucial place to put that safety staple in there to make it a done deal. And this is probably another area where gluing your frames together would be a big benefit too when you're running them through your equipment, you're extracting. Just good to have the frames stay together. But my challenge to you would be, those of you that make your own frames, my challenge would be, don't do it. I mean, unless you've got a lot of good equipment, and unless you're a proven master carpenter, it's not worth it, actually. It's too risky. Those pieces are so small and tiny that you have to get your hand so close to the saw blade. It's not funny. It's not safe for you to try it. It's not worth it. One trip to the ER from slipping on those little pieces and getting caught up with a saw blade, you know, you could have bought for the price of the emergency room visit and consequential trips to the doctor and maybe therapy, you could have bought a bee business. You know what I mean? So spend a few extra dollars and buy these silly frames, these little pieces. Buy those pieces already cut from the people who know how to cut them without killing themselves. And by the way, since we do manufacture our own equipment, if you've never heard this, let me tell it to you. I know that we all kind of cut corners, and when you buy a table saw, most people that I've seen buy a table saw that doesn't cost a lot of money. You know, they pay $200-$400 for a table saw. I have found it to be, in my opinion, very dangerous to try to cut these real intricate pieces on a inexpensive table saw, because the fences on the table saws are not as solid. They're not as sure. I wouldn't try to do that at all until you want to jump up and into the maybe $1,000 range. If you got a table saw that's $1,000 or more, it's going to be a lot safer for you. And believe me, I have ran both, and now we only run the ones that are $1,000 or more because of how sure they are, how accurate, how solid. They don't vibrate, move, bounce, you know, jerk your wood in or out. They're smooth, a lot safer to operate. So if you got one of the cheap table saws, be very careful. Don't try to start a hobby and get hurt by making your own equipment. If you do try to do that, be safe, be careful, and think about maybe just go ahead and buying some of the more harder stuff to make, such as the frames, and maybe you'd be well off just go ahead and build your own boxes if you have to do it. If you don't want to, just call us, let us send you something, and already made up, you'll have a good time. It was tragic one year. Maybe it's been 2 years ago now, but I got this rather large order from a gentleman in another state, and I can't remember the number of beehives that he bought. I think it was 30. You know, so that's a pretty good size order, 30 beehives. And, you know, once you place an order like that, you can't help but immediately start thinking about the total profit that you'll be making. You know, while you're building it, it kind of gives you some enthusiasm. I can say, okay, I'm building 30 hives, I'm making this much profit, that means that there I get them all done, I'll have this much, you know, and you start kind of feeling good about that. But it was very tragic. My son was helping me. We have all the safeguards in place and everything. But he was making the bottom board. He was cutting pieces for the bottom board, the channels on the side rails of a bottom board. And it just so happened that one of those pieces just, it got caught either on a knot or something, you know how wood is, you never know what it's going to do, pinched it or something, and it jerked it out of his hand so fast that, you know, out of just instinct, he tried to stop it by grabbing the wood, you know, harder. And it pulled his hand into the blade. It was tragic. We were very fortunate, though, that the only thing that he cut, and this was not a typical, by the way, not typical table saw. This was one that was cutting a large cut of a 3/4 inch cut, which may sound worse to you, but actually, this blade that cuts that is a real wide 3/4 inch blade. And made up of about 5 or 6 different smaller blades, all kind of close together. And when his thumb hit that, the thumb was the only thing that hit that blade. It just, you know, because it wasn't a real thin single blade, it basically just really roughed up his thumb. I mean, it was bad. It was bleeding, and we had to take him into the hospital. But, you know, the doctor said, well, it's like he just lost a few layers of skin there. We're just, there's nothing to sew up. So he was very fortunate. He got over that. It healed up. And needless to say, though, I say all that because I lost all the profit off of that job because I paid the hospital bill. So I learned that you can be as careful as you might and still wind up wishing you would have just bought the piece. All right, so let somebody else make the pieces. We'll be happy to do that for you. We have implemented a real safety protocol now that you can't cut yourself anymore when running those different pieces in. And be careful if you make your own stuff. So that's the frame, basically, that we find in a hive. Frames are important not only for the bees to draw their comb on. Frames are important for the beekeeper to extract his honey from. So frames do need to be made well and strong and be able to last a lot of years. Now, a new frame that's out, been out for, not new really, it's been out for quite a while, many years now. And I would say probably has been out, I don't know how long for sure, but a good 20, maybe 30 years, is the one-piece plastic frame. And let's see, maybe it hasn't been out that long, but it's been out a while. Because I know I've got some real, real old ones. And this is a one-piece plastic frame. It looks like what you would typically think of as a frame, only it's made out of plastic. And it's one piece. It's very durable. The ones that we sell, I think they're guaranteed for 10 years, not to break. The bees enjoy them. And these have become very popular today as the more and more beekeepers are running out of time to, you know, fool around with the different frames. They'd rather have a one-piece plastic frame so they don't have to make their pieces or put the pieces together. One thing good about a one-piece plastic frame is that, it allows you the freedom never to have to really worry about wax moths tearing up your wood, because a lot of the wooden frames, the wax moths just destroy those end bars. If you have wax moth. And sometimes mice can even gnaw and chew away at your bottom pieces on your frames. I've seen that happen and just chew them up and they're ruined, you know. And you don't have to clean them. You know, with wood frames, you typically have to scrape a lot of the propolis off. But these stay a lot cleaner, a lot nicer product. So give that some thought about frames. Recapping what we've studied today about frames, you have your top and bottom groove frames, and those are the ones where you snap in your plastic insert. And you have your wedge top bar groove, and that's the ones usually used for wax. So the little metal hooks go under the wedge, and you nail or staple your wedge to hold the wax in place. Then you have your one piece plastic frame. Let's look at equipment today, and let's look at the frames in a beehive. Well, I know some of you might have noticed, maybe been missing Sherry on our broadcast for this one and the last one. Sherry's had a cold, and she's doing okay. You know, you kind of feel bad when you get a cold, but she sounds real funny. So she said, "You just do this show without me because people have get tired of hearing my funny nasally voice, so just go on without me." And so she sends you all her greetings, and hopefully she'll be back with me tomorrow on tomorrow's broadcast. Have a little fun tomorrow. I've been answering a lot of email. A lot of people have been sending email. No one has really been calling in on our question and answer line. Not too many, but we need more. We need you to go to your phone now. Muster up the courage, give us a call, and ask your beekeeping question, and we will play your voice on our broadcast, and I will answer your question. Here's the number to call, friend. It's 217-427-2430. You'll get a recording, wait for the tone, and then you can leave your question, your name and your question, and we'll play it on our upcoming program and answer it so that you can gain wisdom from the answer, along with everyone else who hears the answer. Again, call us with your questions. The number is 217-427-2430. And now it's time for Bees in the News. Well, it is interesting how often bees are in the news. Such a small little animal, and it is an animal, it's in the animal kingdom, you know. Such a small little insect. But I found this, and this makes me wish I lived in Mississippi. I'll tell you what, I almost lived in Mississippi one time. I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, and boy, I could throw a rock into Mississippi. I often rode my bike down to Mississippi. There was an airport near there. I think it was called, DeSoto? Is there a DeSoto, Mississippi out there? Those of you that live in the northern part of Mississippi by Tennessee, I thought there was an airport. I used to go, and just a little kid, you know, 11, 12 years old, used to watch airplanes land. A little bitty airport. I think it was called DeSoto. Anyway, listen to this. This is from the Associated Press. Honeybees disappearing in Mississippi. Now, this is from Jackson, Mississippi, which isn't too far from where my brother lives in Louisiana. Here's what it says. Mississippi Agricultural Commissioner Lester Spell says his agency will begin offering financial assistance to beekeepers in an effort to reverse the recent decline in the state's honeybee population. Spell recently announced the financial assistance will be made available to eligible beginning beekeepers who establish up to 4 colonies of honeybees. By showing proof of purchase for 2 hives, Spell says a new beekeeper may receive a reimbursement up to $180 for 1 of the 2 hives and bees. Qualifying applicants can receive a maximum reimbursement of $360. The program is administered through the Mississippi Beekeepers Association and is being funded through the Specialty Crop Block Grant Program. Applicants must apply by April the 1st, 2009. Woohoo! I feel that I just lost all my Mississippi listeners. They just turned it off and headed for their telephones. I mean, they want a part of this. Who wouldn't want to get $360 reimbursement for keeping, you know, some hives? Wow. This is great news, and oh, how I wish every state would do it. I think it was either Virginia or West Virginia I heard that was doing a very similar program, providing honeybees to beekeepers that lost bees in the winter. And boy, Illinois, we just can't seem to get any kind of assistance like that. But those of you that live in Mississippi, there you go. Again, this is you want to contact the Mississippi Beekeepers Association. You'll have to do a little Google search on them if you're in Mississippi and find out what it's all about and how you can get in line for that reimbursement for becoming a beekeeper. And maybe some of you are living in states that you're not happy with anymore, and you may want to move to Mississippi. I don't know. I don't know if $360 in reimbursement of beekeeping equipment is going to be warrants picking up your family and moving to Mississippi, but I guess it could. Well, that's all the time we have for today. It's gone by really fast. I want to thank you for joining me today here at Studio B Live. Hey, don't go anywhere. Whoa. Don't hit the pause button yet. I want to tell you how you can contact us. Go to our website, honeybeesonline.com, and you can look at all the information about Sherry and me and the family, our family honeybee business, and you know, sometimes it's just fun to delve into somebody else's family life, you know, just to find out who are these people, what do they look like, and what makes them tick, you know. Well, David and Sherry Burns, that's who we are. We operate Long Lane Honeybee Farms. We actually have 6 children, but only 3 live at home. 3 are grown and gone, and we have a huge spectrum of ages, and yes, they're all of our kids. Mine and Sherry's, they're our kids, ranging from ages of 27 all the way down to 1 year old. We've had children, I think Sherry said, in 3 different decades. So we're young, and the Lord has just blessed us with children, and we're thankful for them. And we had a great time visiting with all of our children and grandchildren over Thanksgiving. So, you know, it's fun. I understand it's fun to kind of dive into other people's lives and get to know them a little bit better. And we're glad that you are interested in getting to know us better. So go to honeybeesonline.com and you can read more about us there. And you can always give us a call. Don't be afraid. We'd love to talk to you. We are busy, but we answer the phone when we're not busy. When we can get to it, we'll answer it and give you as much time as we can to answer any questions that you might have about placing an order, when to do it, how to get started beekeeping. Hey, we're here to help you, all right? We're here to help you become a beekeeper or sustain you if you are presently a beekeeper with whatever equipment that you need. You can always give us a call. Our order line is 217-427-2678.
That's 217-427-2678. Or email me at david@honeybeesonline.com. Now, some of you may be wanting to email Sherry. Sometimes Sherry's more fun to talk to, you know? I've kind of noticed that, and I'm not hurt by it, okay? I understand that some of you like to talk to Sherry. I don't know if you think she's maybe the wiser of the two of us, or maybe you think she's more organized and she won't lose your order. I don't know, but something tells me that some people just prefer to talk to Sherry, and that's fine. That's fine. Go ahead and talk to Sherry. Snub me. Turn your back on me. No, I understand. But if you'd like to email Sherry, her email is Sherry, that's Sherry, dot Burns, Burns, at tswireless.net. TS, that's Tom Sally, wireless.net. So it's Sherry, Sherry, dot Burns, at tswireless.net. And hey, you might drop her a note and say, sorry to hear you had a cold, hope you feel better. She's actually staying pretty busy, probably too busy, you know, but she sounds like her nose is plugged up. And she got over the time, a couple of days there where you just really feel raunchy with kind of like body aches and fever, you know. She got over that pretty quick. And we've been redoing a room in our house, our bedroom. We bought the house 5 years ago. And we decided when we were at Giant City State Park a few weeks ago for our little couple of days of vacation, we really liked how the cabins looked, the inside of the cabin. So we said, hey, when we get home, we're going to go and buy the wallboard and redo our bedroom just like this cabin is. It's really cool. So we've been doing that for the last week in our spare time. And pretty exhausting, but Sherry's been working on that a big part of the day too, putting up some molding, ground molding, chair rail, and those sorts. But if you want to email her and say, hey, sorry to hear you're sick, look forward to hearing you back on Studio B Live again, and I'm sure she'd be encouraged by your email. Well, thanks for joining me today, friend, and I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Remember, if you're tired of hearing me ramble on, you can change that by calling in with your question, and we can talk about something you want to talk about. Give us a call, 217-427-2430. Until tomorrow, this is David reminding you to behave yourself.